Okay, we're in Perek Da Halacha Zayin. Daf Yud Beis on Beis. Zaysim Mashiach Yachnis Revias L'sa. Zaysim, olives, when they bring in a revias, meaning if they're ripe enough that they can produce a revias of oil, which is a few ounces, 3 or 4 ounces, of oil for each sa'ah, each large measure of olives, Potzeh, you can squeeze them, v'ochel, eat them basode, out in the field. That's where they consider to be ripe enough to eat. Ichnisu chati log, when ready, they can produce twice as much, half a log per saw. So then kotesh v'sach basode. Not only can you press them, but you could also use the oil for anointing. It seems that by olive oil, since it's made for, you know, anointing, for rubbing yourself with, so that's one of the permissible uses during Shemitah. So at that point, the oil is considered to be significant enough that not only can you eat them, but you can also use the oil for rubbing yourself. Ichnisu shlish, when they can produce a third, and a third is obviously somewhat more, a third of their total product, then kotish besodi, you can press in your house, and even konis dokbeso, bring into, press in the field and even bring it to your house. This is similar. The similar thing applies b'shar shnei shavuot to all years of Shemitah, meaning the other years. Chayov and Meisus, they're chayov and Meisus when they reach this this size. B'shar kopeus ilon, all the other fruit of the tree. Konasan, all other fruits of the trees. Konasan and Meisus, kachonasan and shvius. The same time when they become suitable to have Meisus taken off of them, that's when they become suitable to have Shemitah to be susceptible to permitted to eat during Shemitah. Okay, their kedusha shvius then allows them to be eaten at that point. Now, I have a header here, which you probably don't have in the Gemara. Zaysim sheichnisu revias l'sa'ah. Oh, you do have that one?
We have it as part of a question. He has that too, but he has a header before that.
Oh, okay. So, ma'u shlish. What is a shlish? As we said, when they produce a third, then they're ready, they can be brought into the house, the olives. So the Gemara answer is log. When they produce a log, that's considered to be a third of their growth. So masnisa bimkomos. So our mission is obviously talking about a case. Simple arithmetic tells us shein osim shlosha lugin l'sa, where when they're fully ripe, the olives will produce 3 log per sa. Right, if a third is a log, so 3/3 is 3 log. Okay, and that would be their full
of oil.
Right, 3 log of oil per sa of olives. Now, finally, we have here why we makbin on all these things. Because Ksiv, it says, ki yoivel, it is, kodesh tiyeh lochem, it is holy unto you, mina sodev gomer, it says, tochlu es tvuas, of course, lay in that pasuk, mahi kodesh, just like yovel is kodesh, so too, af tvuas kodesh, so too, its crop is kodesh, and this we learned, yovel and shmita are linked, that yovel and shmita both have sanctity, their crop has sanctity, and that's why they can only be eaten when they are fully ripe, and that's why they can only be used to be eaten, they can't be used, the crop cannot be used for any other purpose, such as we saw yesterday, to make a salve or an ointment, with the exception, of course, of olive oil, which is made for that purpose of using as an oil, right? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, now talking about the Kedusha of Shemitah, of course, leads us to speak about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Menashek Lekipso Deako. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina used to kiss the bridges, literally the domes, what here means the bridges of Akko. And this is the point where when one left Akko, one went to the chutzar, it's like the bridge, you know, which was the demarcation line. So he kissed the side of the bridge, which was affiliated with Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's interesting, you should know that the way I always learned it in the Bavli, until I saw here, this the Peirush here, I don't know who this is from, but he says that I always understood kipid akum means the roofs. Right, the Gemara Ksuvus. All the Gemara Ksuvus. Akko says Akko is half in and half Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara Ksuvus says they used to kiss the kipei the Akko. So I always thought that meant the domes on the roof. But he actually says it means the arches of the bridge, because it was a bridge which is half in Akko and half in Chutz Laretz. Okay, Vamar, and he would say, and this makes sense, but in light of the next line, Vamar at kol yared Yisrael, he'd say until the Eretz Yisrael. In other words, he would kiss the demarcation point on the bridge where Eretz Yisrael ended and Chutz Laretz began. Rabbi Zira over Yardona b'Manoi. Rabbi Zira, whenever you pass over the Jordan River, you pass over wearing his clothes. I was covered with the Jordan River, he wouldn't go in and naked. It's more covetic to go in and clothes, and then Jordan River, of course, is holy because it's affiliated with the land of Israel. Rechia bar Abba, the Misagel, he would roll Bahada Elisis, the Tveria, in a certain place in Tveria where the Rabbanan would go in order to learn, in order to dive in, called Alisis. He would go to that place and roll in the dirt, because there's a passage which says, Ki Rotzo Avodecha Esafora. Esavonah, I think it says. He doesn't read that pasuk. But the pasuk says that what? Who brings it down here? All right, it's the next line. Okay, sorry. Rabbi Chia the Great, Maskal Kipe, he would weigh the stones of Eretz Yisrael. That's an interesting thing. He brings down here that there was an opinion that the stones of Eretz Yisrael are heavier than the stones of Chutz Lars. So it would weigh them to find it. No, but it's saying that they have denser. That they're denser in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lars. So he would be maskal kipe, weigh the stones. Rabbi Chanina masking gushayer. Rabbi Chanina would fix, literally means the clumps, but here means he would fix the streets in Eretz Yisrael. L'kaim mashnema, in order to fulfill this pasuk. And here it is. Tehillim. Kiratu avodecho safonea, your servants wanted its stones, ve'safore chonenu, and they had mercy on its dirt. So Eretz Yisrael is holy, that's why its fruit is holy, and that's why one has to treat it in a respectful manner.
Things
okay?
Really heavier than Eretz Yisrael when you're trying to pack a suitcase on
LA. Yeah, that's right.
Before you know
it. Maybe that was the shot. He was weighing his baggage. Okay. Now, at what point, therefore, since the fruit is precious, at a certain point, once stuff starts growing on the branches, you now have to cut down the branches anymore, because the branches have peros shvius on them, so you can't cut them down. So it says, well, when is that point? Beshamarim, says the Mishnah, actually. Beshamarim call ilam mishiyoti, any tree when it produces fruit. In other words, when the fruit is already discernible on the branch of the tree. It depends. By carobs, when already they look like chains, in other words, the carob has already been somewhat formed and it's hanging down. Vagafoni, by grapes, mishigaru, once they fill with water. Vazesi mishayenotsu, that's when the flower opens up a little bit and you can see the developing fruit inside. Vishakali, and each and every other tree, mishiyotsi, once it produces fruit, is apparent. Each and every tree, once the fruit is sufficiently developed that it's suitable to take maisra off, so you can cut off the branch, because of course then the fruit is edible and it's not going to be hefse by cutting it down in Shemitah. How much should be on the olive? And you're not allowed to cut it down now, the Kavanoki brings down this story about in another year of Shemitah, and you should not, won't be forbidden to cut down the tree or the branch because of Baal Tashchis, right? Because you're destroying a fruit tree. So Rova, Tanakamba says it's a quarter of a measure, a quarter of a kav. But Ramshin Gamli Omer, HaKol Lefi Hazais, everything is relative to the olive and how much place it's taking up and how precious its wood is, and everything is subjective. There's no objective standard measure. Okay? Says more. Tani Rav Chinuna Bar Papa, Charuvin Shil Shulanu Chanitosan. By carobs, this is a very important fact, which we'll have to remember later this evening. By carobs, when they become chain-like, that's when they're considered to have budded. Okay, that's really considered to be the beginning of their growth, even though they actually grow before that, but when is considered to be the first budding of the fruits, when they look like chains. Hagfani mishigaru av rabiyena mishiyaschilu mayim. That's when they can flow with water. K'mod atomer, like you say, ki goran nitfe mayim, when the falls of the water flow, Yozukum Mater Ledo, when rain comes down at its appointed time. Hazesi Mishianatsu, when our olives considered to be significantly ripe, when they're ready, the flow, you can see they're discernible within the flower. Rabbi Yena said, oh, you don't have that header, do you? You didn't have that header, did you? Hazesi Mishianatsu, you do have?
Yeah.
Okay. Rabbi Yena, Mishiach Nisu Rova, This is when they can produce a quarter of a measure. Says so quarter measure what? Ma rova nates or rova zaysim is they can produce a quarter of a measure of buds, or that eventually when they grow they'll produce a quarter measure of olives. We would take a lot, so that's a lot less, because the olives will be quite heavy. The buds are relatively light. So therefore, if you go by a quarter of a measure now, then that's going to require a lot more buds than the amount of buds required in order to produce a quarter of a measure of olives later. Rabbi Yehuda said, le'ei donate? Le'ei do is like le'ei zo. For what purpose do we need the buds? They're totally useless. Rather, we're looking at the amount of buds which in the future can produce a quarter measure of olives. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda said, well, it's a little bit of a gadot to finish the parak here. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ksiv it says, 'Ki yishal zisecha,' when your olives fall off your tree, what's the klolo which is implicit in that pasuk? Chad l'tlas me'ov arboim kaim ba. You only have 1/340th of your original crop, and then of course is the gematria of the word yishal, right?" Yishal Zyud Shin Lamet, 340th. So that's the klola. Von Rabbi Yehuda, what's the bruch on the following pasuk? Ki eitz nosa perio, the trees will bear their fruit. Magid shalo nosa perio ba'olam hazeh. In Yimos Mashiach, trees which should not bear fruit in this world will bear fruit then. Even we say that sidim ilono srak. Even the trees which are barren in this world will bear fruit in the world to come. So he's saying that that's even going in Yimos Mashiach. Uteina gefen nostu kuchelam, the figs and the grapevines gave forth their strength. Magid shlo nostu chelam b'olam hazeh. He says that they didn't give their strength in this world, but they will in the world to come. V'am Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, hames b'sheva shnei Gog. There was a tradition that the years of Gog u'Magog, of the war of Gog u'Magog, will be 7 in number. So somebody dies during those 7 years, ain't lo chelak lasi lovu, he has no chelak in the world to come. Amazing. Says Gemara, Simana, what's a simon to remember this? The achil prodgamya achil mashtusa. He who eats from the smorgasbord eats from the main meal. But if you're not invited to the smorgasbord, you're not invited to the meal either. All right, so here, if he missed the prelude to Olam Haba, the Melchemes Gog u'Magog, he's not getting into Olam Haba either. A very strange Gemara. It says, Moshem Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi had this Avam, and he said, Vios? Is this proper? Ad Kedun, there still is East Teshuva, there still is Teshuva, but here it doesn't mean Teshuva in the sense of repentance, but rather there is still a possible return, meaning there's still hope. La'amodas, you know, which is because you miss Melchemes Gog u'Magog, it doesn't mean that you're going to miss Olam Haba. But once we're on the topic, Vam Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem Rechi Barashi, Asidim Eim Chaverim Lisagiam Mibatei Knesios Batei Midrashos. Even in the world to come, the Chaverim are still toiling to go from Shul to Beis Medrash. This is like Chazal say, Tzadikim Eilem Menucho Lo Bolam Azev Volam Abba. The Tzadikim have no rest neither in this world nor the world to come. So they're constantly going from Beis Knesses to Beis Medrash and constantly growing in Torah and Tefillah, even in the world to come. My time, what Pasuk teaches us this, Yelchu Mechayel Echoyel, they should go from strength to strength, Yeroyel Elokim Etzion, they will be seen by God in Zion. Rabbanan the Kesari, I mean, this is a parallel Gemara to a Gemara in the Bavli, in Sanhedrin. Rabbanan the Kesari, in Sanhedrin, Rabbanan the Kesari, I mean, Kitane Goyim, young Goyim who die, meaning they have not yet merited any of their own personal schools. The Chelos of Nebuchadnezzar and all the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, which destroy the Beis Hamikdash, Lochain, do not rise for the world to come, and none are not judged. They're in perpetual limbo. Concerning these people, it says, they will sleep in eternal sleep, they will not awaken. From when are minor Jews meritorious of the world to come? Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shim, Rabbi had a machlokas. Chadamar Mishivoldu, from the moment they're born, they're ready candidates for the world to come. Chadamar Mishivoldu, only from the moment they speak. Madamar Mishivoldu, They will come and say over his righteousness, La'am no lot, to a born nation, Kiyoso, which he made. So even once they're born, they're ready candidates for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's righteousness, meaning Tchiyas HaMetzim. Ma'adamar Mishidabu, it's only once they speak, because it says, Zera Yavdenu, a generation which worships God, Yisupar LaHashem L'dor, they will be counted for Hashem for all generations. So the Yavdenu means once they can do Avoida. What's Avoida? Tfilah. So you have to speak in order to be mispala. Okay? Tani, we learned. B'sher Meir, name Rav Meir, B'sher Yodea, La'anos Amein, basic Knesset. When does the Kodan come to Lama Ba? Once he can answer Amein and Shul. My time, why? Peace, Chushu, what Pasuk teaches us? Peace, Chusharim, open the gates. V'yavo, Goy, Tzadik, and a righteous nation will enter. Shomer Emunim, which keeps its trust. When we darshan that Alti Kri Shomer Emunim Ela Shomer Amenim, by the nation which says Amen. Tam and Amen Bava, they said Mishamulu, once they become get their Brismila. The Sivit says Nasasi Emecha, if I bear your fear Afuneh, I will turn. And this the beginning of the pasuk he brings down here says that Ani Ani Vegeva Minor, a poor person who died in his youth. So as long as he bore the bris milah, so he's this candidate for Olam Haba. Rabbanan Dachom, in Rabbanan Eretz Yisrael say, even earlier, Mishiv Voldu, from the time they're born, as we said previously, Ulitzioni Omar, Ish V'ish Yavolipa. To Zion will be said when the ultimate redemption occurs, that anybody who was born in it is a candidate for it. Rabbi Lezer Meir, V'afil in the Falim, you know what, even miscarriages, even fetuses which are aborted, are still candidates for Olam Haba. My time of Pasuk teaches us this. Netzurei unetzurei Yisrael la'ashiv. Those who are preserved by Am Yisrael be returned. And we darshan that unetzirei. Those who are created, even if they are miscarried, Yisrael, they are la'ashiv, they are returned to the world to come as well.
Does Nathan have a neshama?
According to this, he does. It's a machlokas here. Machlokas. I don't remember what the Babli says about this, but the Machlokas here. Yeah, there's one view in Bretz, right? Brachos, Rebbe Antoninus, once that after 40 days, I think, that's right. Another is from birth, yeah. So in any event, so here you see that he holds, that this Gemara holds that it's from the time they're created, which means obviously a fetus in the womb. Although I'm sure there are, you know, we see this whole argument here, nobody knows exactly, but that's his theory. Okay, says the new pair. B'no shuach, white figs. Shviyah shalem shanya, their shviyah's parameters are different. They're special. How so? Shein osas l'shol shanya, they only produce fruit once every 3 years. So therefore, when is the fruit of Shemitah going to grow? When it's b'no shuach, when is the fruit of Shemitah going to grow? What would be the other alternative? That in the second year after Shemitah, you'd say that the stuff which grew, that Shemitah fruit. Right? We're going to learn your alternative. That it's one third of the fruit in general. But the other alternative is that it's the. In the second year after Shemitah, that's the third year of the growth. And therefore, that's the fruit from the Shemitah year. So, and that's what Mishnah says here. Sheinosa Shalosh Shonim. Says it produces every third year, so therefore, Mishnah doesn't say explicitly, but that's the assumption of Mishnah. The Kedusha Shviyas occurs during the third year. Rabbinim Hara Parsos, which are Persian dates, Shviyas Shalem Motzai Shviyas, they grow in 2 years. And therefore, their Shviyas is the year after Shviyas. Shenos is l'shteishon, because they grew until years. Amru lo, so they respond to Rabbi Yehuda, lo amru ela b'no shuach. The only case which we have like that is the white figs, not these Persian dates. Okay, we reject your claim. Ma'u b'no shuach, what are b'no shuach? Pitura, which means white figs. So now it says more, ma, b'chol shana v'shana in osos, does it mean that they grow a little bit every year? And that there's a crop every year, but it, you know, it's like in waves. right? So you have each kra, you have various different, you have on the tree each year, crops from this year, crops from last year, and crops from the year before, right? Because it's 3 years. Or do I say, o'achas l'shol l'shonim? Or they only start a new cycle once they finish the old cycle. So it's every 3 years they start a new cycle. So is it graduated within the tree itself, or every 3 years do they start afresh? Okay? So, b'chol shana v'shana ein elsos. So it says the Gemara, you know what? Each and every year they produce, like you said before. No, so they're staggered fruits in each and every tree. Just that each wave is not complete until after 3 years. Okay, so I know from which year the specific fruit in question is. So you tie a knot around them. In other words, you tie different color bands on each year of fruit to know which year it's from. Okay? Tani Shmuel, Teichabim, Kizmin, you stick pins in them. Markers. And that's how you know. Tani, we learned, Ilan Shechonat, Konum Chamisha Sabra, Bishvat. You have a tree which budded. And by trees, you go after budding, determining when the Chayv and Meiser. So, vis-a-vis Meisers, there's an opinion which holds that the time when you determine Meiser is Tu Bishvat. Shemitah goes by always by Rosh Hashanah. But here's an opinion that by Meiser, go by Tu Bishvat. So Ilan Shechonat Konam Chamisha Sabra Shvat, if it budded before Tu B'Shvat, Misas L'Shover, then you might say it's part of the previous year. Lach Chamisha Sabra B'Shvat, if it buds after Tu B'Shvat, then Misas L'Habba goes after the subsequent year. Rabbi Nechem has said, B'Medvar, when is this true? B'Ilan Shoso Shtei Gronos L'Shona. By a tree which makes two crops a year. So the crop before Tu B'Shvat is one crop, and the crop after Tu B'Shvat is another crop. But a tree which only makes one crop a year, such as olives and dates and carobs, even though some of the fruit already became budded prior to Tu B'Shvat, we follow by them the next year. Right? We always go after the subsequent year. So in any tree where it only produces one crop a year, so we go always after the later period, which means even the stuff which budded before Tu B'Shvat, we attribute it to the year which begins after Tu B'Shvat.
Even if the majority of it budded before.
That's right. That's what he's saying. So the Gemara doesn't like this so much. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Nagu Am." The Gemara conducted the people conduct themselves b'charubin only by carobs, Rabbi Yochanan. Why is that? Because by carobs, the Mefarshim bring down anyway the Meiser of carobs is the Rabbana. It's even not even the Rabbana, it's just a minuk. Because most carobs are Hefker, and Hefker is exempt from Meiser. People don't cultivate carobs, they're not domesticated fruit. So therefore, carobs are unique in that their whole Meiser is only a Chumra anyway. So it's only a Chumra, so therefore they're Mekel and said, if you have some of the carobs on the tree which budded before Tu B'Shvat and some after Tu B'Shvat, you just throw them arbitrarily to after Tu B'Shvat. Okay? Meisa Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish kum Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish as Rabbi Yochanan. How can you say this? Vartin and didn't we learn in our Mishnah? Benosh Shuach B'Shvi Shem Shania. By these white figs, their Shemitah is different. Shein Osas the Shol Shani because they produce every 3 years. Now, according to you, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who quoted Rabbi Nechemya, Masha also b'shvis, yeah b'shvis, that which grew during Shemitah should go become be of Shemitah. Why is that? Because since we see in our mail, since you, Rabbi Yochanan, hold that since you Rabbi Yochanan like Rabbi Nechemya, at least by carobs, that we steamroll all the produce, or I should say, bulldoze all the produce into 1 year, and say this is its year, the year after Tu B'Shvat, even though some of the produce became some already mature enough before Tu B'Shvat, so let's say the same thing here. By the B'no Shuach, let's steamroll all of them into the Shemitah year, and consider all of them part and parcel of the Shemitah year. So says the Gemara, the Kibbutz Minei, Rabbi Yochanan accepted this complaint. So the Gemara will not accept this complaint. The Gemara is very upset with this complaint. Rabbi Bar Kahana said concerning this, Tamiyani, I am astounded. How could Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan ask Rabbi Yochanan this question? And he just sat there and took it. He accepted it from him. V'yosivna, let Rabbi Yochanan answer Reish Lakish. On our Macharuvin, I said, when do we steamroll everything or bulldoze everything into 1 year? By Charuvin, by Caribs, where it's only a minute to give Meiser. You want to tell me about white figs where Shemitah Mistama is the Raisa? On Amar Minuk, I'm talking about by Caribs, so the whole concept of taking Meiser of Caribs is a Minuk. Vatamar Talok, you're talking about the Aloch of Shemitah, there's no comparison. On Amar Rabbi Nechemiah, I said that in one case you follow Rabbi Nechemiah. Vatamar to Rabbanan, you're asking me from other cases which we follow Rabbanan? So why did Rabbi Yochanan Taka feel that he was vanquished by Reish Lakish? Because he folds he charuvin he b'no shuach. Just like b'no shuach are mostly hefker, so do carabs are mostly hefker. And therefore, whatever fundamental principles apply to b'no shuach should apply to carabs as well. He minog. Furthermore, there's no difference between minog and he halacha. They're both considered to be forms of halachic observance. And therefore, one should follow the same parameters by both. And for also, he Rabbi Nechemiah, he Rabbanan. Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbanan would both agree that if you can bulldoze all of the fruits into 1 year, whether it be before or after Tu B'Shvat, that we do so. So in any event, so now Reish Lakish is kasha kukasha, and Rabbi Yochanan never answered it. But we should say the same thing by B'no Shuach, that let's steamroll all of the produce of B'no Shuach into 1 year and say that's the year in which the B'no Shuach is Shemitah. Okay?
That's making a big assumption that B'no Shuach is Hefker.
Right.
I mean, the Mishnah...
didn't allude to that.
Right.
Right, so what?
It was the top headline.
Right. Doesn't matter. That's what we're assuming, that it's gross Hefker. Okay, Tamon Amrina says somewhere further. Over there we say... they said, in Bavel, people said, Ilan Shechona Konam Rosh Hashanah Shel Oilam, a tree which budded before Rosh Hashanah of the world, meaning before Aleph Tishrei, Misaser L'Shavar, the Miser goes after the previous year. Lacha Rosh Hashanah Shel Oilam, if it goes after Rosh Hashanah of the world, Misaser L'Ab, the Miser goes after the subsequent year, because it always goes after Chanot, after the budding. Now, according what really their agenda is, Rabbanan, is to say that the reason why we're makel by carobs, that carobs we follow 1 year, and by b'no shuach we don't. By b'no shuach we really wanted to say that they don't necessarily all follow shvius. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Let me clarify that a little bit more. But the reason why B'no Shuach let me see if I can make this clear even to myself. Just a second.
Well, Karams has an annual harvest and B'no Shuach is split into every three, it's divided into thirds.
No, it's not divided into thirds, though. Oh, yeah, it is divided into thirds. Right, that's right. Right. That's good. Okay, now I remember. Right, by B'no Shuach, why don't we don't, even all the strategies are going. All the things that are going during Shemitah aren't necessarily Shemitah fruit. That's what we said, right? It's only the stuff which will ripen 2 years after Shemitah, right? So our Shaila was, let's bulldoze all those B'no Shuach which are on the tree during Shemitah into Shemitah year. Bulldoze, bad word. Shoehorn is a better word. Let's shoehorn them all into the Shemitah year, right? Well, like we do with carobs. So in that, the Gemara said, that was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Shlokesh's Kach and Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't have an answer. So now the Gemara is going to give three answers to that. The first answer is the answer which they gave in Bavel, which is that really by Meiser, the reason why Rabbi Nechemiah was willing to steamroll, to shoehorn all the crop, both before and after Tu B'Shvat, into the same year, is because really the primary way of determining what year it is for Meiser is by Rosh Hashanah. And the truth is all this crop is between the same two Rosh Hashanahs, right? From the Rosh Hashanah of the previous year to Rosh Hashanah next year. It comes out in different years by Tu B'Shvat. But since Rosh Hashanah is the primary way of fixing the date, so therefore the Gemara says that's why Rabbi Nechemiah was agreeable to shoehorn all carobs into the same year, the year of subsequent to Tu B'Shvat. But by Bnei Shuach, where they're maturing at different, they're growing at different rates vis-a-vis Rosh Hashanah, because they're growing over the course of 3 years, there's no capacity to shoehorn all of them into 1 year. Okay, that's the first answer. Okay, again, Taman Armin, Hilan Shulchanah Kodem Rosh Hashanah Shel Oilam, the tree which budded before the Rosh Hashanah of the world, Misasa Lusha Avar, it goes, Maitzah the previous year, Lacha Rosh Hashanah Shel Oilam, after Rosh Hashanah of the world, Misasa Laba goes after the subsequent year. So therefore, they were willing to do the shoehorn business of everything which is between one Rosh Hashanah and another Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to by Bnei Shuach. However, Asif Rabbi Yudam Bar Playa, Kamakumi Rabbi Yoino, Rabbi Yudam Bar Playa, asked for Rabbi Yoino, Harecha Ruben. Wait a minute, it's not true. Even by carobs, Harem Choytim Koinem Rosh Hashanah, some of them bud prior to the Rosh Hashanah, Shoilam Vemisasin Lizlaba. And yet they're mitzvahed after the subsequent year. In other words, also by carobs also carries over from before Rosh Hashanah to after the next Rosh Hashanah. You wanted to say that it's all between two Rosh Hashanahs. It's not true. Carobs do bud before Rosh Hashanah. So says Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. He didn't hear that which Rabbi Chanina bar Papa said. What did Rabbi Chanina bar Papa say? Chavuvin by carobs shushulanu chanaton. We learned that they never make chains before Rosh Hashanah. They only become chains after Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, all the carobs, from the time they start making chains till the end of that year of the crop, that is all between one Rosh Hashanah and the next Rosh Hashanah. That's why we can shoehorn them all into the same year, meaning the year which begins after Tu B'Shvat. That's one answer. Says Maharam Rabbi Yassi, another answer. Hey, view shlish kodem Rosh Hashanah she'olam, that really doesn't go after chanota, but rather after a third, the growth of a third of the crop. If they bring a third of the crop prior to Rosh Hashanah she'olam, prior to Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah of the new year, right, Aleph Tishrei, Misachin and Shavah, they go after the previous year. Lacha Rosh Hashanah she'olam, they grow a third after Rosh Hashanah of the year, then Misachin l'haba, then they're maised after the subsequent year. Hosi Rabbi Zira Kum Rabbi Asa, so Rabbi Zira asked for Rabbi Asa. How can you say this answer? Now let's step back for me before we see the kasha. He's saying a similar answer. He's saying by there where we shoehorn things in the same year, it's because they all grew to a third of their growth between Rosh Hashanah number one and Rosh Hashanah number two. The same idea. Said that in Bavel they answered that it went with Chanota. Here, Rabbi Yassa say it goes after a third, but the concept is the same concept, okay? It's shorn based on Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah.
It's also saying that factually it just was that the one-third happens to take place
right
after the Rosh Hashanah.
By carobs, all the one-thirds are after Rosh Hashanah, okay?
But if it happened before...
Right, then it would be a problem. Now, let's see what this is. This is a problem as we're about to bring down a problem in this regard. Host of Rabbi Zira, Kumi Rabbi Yasser, in front of Rabbi Yassi, Pa'amim Shashoni Ma'afilos. Sometimes the years are dark, meaning that there's a very late ripening. Umavat Tamarim, and dates, Matilim Sor, they become ripe, which is ripe, I should mean, a third of their growth. Literally, Matilim Sor means they become cracked, just like sourdough cracks yeast, right? Cracks the dough, right? It causes the dough to split open. So tomorrow, mitilim sar la'achar Rosh Hashanah sholom. They sometimes the dates become full third ripe only after Rosh Hashanah. They misasus l'shavar, and their ma'aser is part of the previous year, which makes no sense according to you. You're saying the cutoff point is Rosh Hashanah. So how can you ma'aser things which grew a third after Rosh Hashanah with the stuff which is before Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Zira, you know what? The truth is, you're right. Hypothetically, you're asking a very good question. Rabbi Zira is talking to himself. Rabbi Zira says, the truth of my question is a good question. However, lo mi daite haver, I have three words here. I don't think he has right. So, Rabbi Yasa was the author of the statement. So, what we're saying is, Rabbi Yasa himself holds. He says, you know what? I personally hold that I personally hold not like Rabbi Yochanan, meaning I hold that you don't shoehorn into one ear. But I'm trying to explain the Rabbi Yochanan shita that you shoehorn by carobs, not by both no shuach. Personally, I don't hold the shoehorn business, right? So therefore, So it said, but so therefore you can't ask me about why by dates we shoehorn them into the previous year, because really my standards are different. Could be I might hold from Tu B'Shvat to Tu B'Shvat, so therefore dates of after Rosh Hashanah do get shoehorned into the previous year. But I was coming to answer Rabbi Yochanan and trying to explain why according to Rabbi Yochanan there's a distinction between carobs and b'no shuach. On him I was explaining that this all. Rabbi Zira saying name Rabbi Yassel. And him I was explaining that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the cutoff point is Rosh Hashanah. That's his shita. I don't personally hold that way. Okay, that's what I'm saying here. Amar Zira Lomi Daite, not on his own accord, have a Rabbi Yassi Omar Oda Milsu Rabbi Yassi say this. Elamina Dodra Hashem Ben Lokesh is trying to fend off Rabbi Shimon Ben Lokesh is Kash Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore he says if you find a price which contradicts what I'm saying, it's not my problem. It's Rabbi Yochanan's problem. I'm not expressing my own opinion. Okay? Says the Gemara, you had a third answer. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel Barabba said, Hey, view Shlish Kon. Now, here's the thing the Gemara would like. He holds that he retains the cutter point as being Tu B'Shvat. He says, this is the answer, Rabbi Yochan, for Rabbi Shlokesh is Kash, Rabbi Yochan. Hey, view Shlish Kodam L'Chamishas Rabbi Shvat. If they grew a third prior to Tu B'Shvat, Misasin L'Shavar, they get Mice of the previous year. L'Achar Chamishas Rabbi B'Shvat. But if it's after Chamishas Rabbi Shvat, then they're Misasin L'Haba, they go after the next year. So even by carobs, it has to be that they grew a third before Rosh Hashanah, before Tu B'Shvat. What? Really, B'no Shuach can't be shorn because they don't grow a third until after Shemitah is over, right? There's no the tree since they grow in succession. So therefore, each successive crop will grow a third at a different rate. But carobs, generally speaking, you can shoehorn them together because they're all going to grow a third subsequent to Rosh to B'Shvat. Now the Chanota, that might be before Tu B'Shvat, but when are they going to grow a third? Only after Tu B'Shvat. And that's what allows us to shoehorn them all into after Tu B'Shvat, the fact that the third growth is going to be after Tu B'Shvat. Okay?
What about the criteria?
He's saying that is not the primary criterion. The primary criterion is Havar Shlish, vis-a-vis Meisers, at least. The primary is Havar Shlish. So even Mishia Shalshlu is not a factor, right, which you're saying. And therefore, it's not a primary factor, it's a secondary factor. And therefore, if the part of the Mishalshlu before Tu B'Shvat and part of Mishalshlu after Tu B'Shvat, since even the ones who are Shalshlu before Tu B'Shvat are not going to grow a third of their growth until after Tu B'Shvat, we follow that broad criteria. Rabbi Zero said, Vios, this is good. And I'll prove it to you. Hareesrog akaras chanato. By akarto chanato. By esrog we say we uproot the concept of chanato. By esrog is the sole fruit by which we go after lakita. We don't go after when it buds, but rather when it's collected. Why? Because esrog is similar to b'no shuach in this way. It grows at a staggered pace. Not all the fruit grows at the same rate. Some are ripe earlier. So we always go, we stagger it. Since it grows in staggered rate, so therefore we go after Shas Lakita. But Lo Akarta Shnoso, even though we uprooted the concept of Chanota, we left the concept of Tu B'Shvat intact. We'd rather leave the concept of Tu B'Shvat intact. Because Tu B'Shvat, we know, is the determining factor vis-a-vis Meiser. So therefore, that's why we prefer Rabbi Yaakov Baracha's answer, which left Tu B'Shvat intact, and changed the parameter to a third instead of Mishi Shalshu. We prefer that to the other answers, which kept the parameter of... which might have kept the parameter, at least in the first answer, of Chanota, but change the parameter to Rosh Hashanah. Okay? By virtue of that, we say that by Esrog, we'd rather change the parameter Chanota L'Kita and leave Tu B'Shvat intact. Here too, we'd rather change the parameter from Yishir Shalshu to Avot Shlish and leave the Tu B'Shvat parameter intact. That's what we're saying here. Okay? Again, by Esrog, a karta chanota v'lo a karta shnosa, we uproot the parameter of budding and go up, but retain the parameter of Tu B'Shvat. The kind of here too, a karta shnosa, you uproot the parameter of its year. It's bitmiya. The kind a karta shnosa v'lo a karta chanota. Here you're going to uproot the you're going to uproot that certainly is difficult than Rabbi Yasso, was the middle Shita. Because Rabbi Yasso even uprooted not just the Tu B'Shvat, he made Rosh Hashanah, but he also uprooted Chanota. Because he learned that it's Havah Shlish. He's the worst of both worlds. He changed the parameter A to Rosh Hashanah, and B changed it to Havah Shlish. That's much worse. So we don't like the first opinion, which is the opinion of Bavel, because there they change parameter from Tu B'Shvat to Rosh Hashanah. We certainly don't like the second opinion, which changed the parameter to Rosh Hashanah and also changed it from Chanota to Havash Lish. The best, or the least evil, is Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha's parameter, who kept Tu B'Shvat intact. He just changed it to Havash Lish. Okay? Instead of Chanota.
And what's the reason why we changed the parameters?
No, the Gemara doesn't say it. The truth is, though, it's really, I guess it's a Svara. Since where the things grow at a staggered rate, so we cannot go after budding. Because they're not all going to bud at the same time. So it would be impossible to meister the fruit if you went after Chanota and you'd have to follow when each one of these fruits was chonate, to know, unless you label them, right? So therefore, it's more. That's true. You'd have to label them as there as well. But at least there, it's easy to tell which grew each year. But by Esrog, they're staggered within the same year. So if you followed Chanota, you'd have some Chanota before Tu B'Shvat and some after Tu B'Shvat. That would be totally impossible. Right, essentially impossible. So therefore, the cooler was to go after the Lakita. Rabbi Boom Bar Achia Boy Kumi Rabbi Zira. Miatov, this is the case. Now, it's an amazing question he asks here. It's a mind-boggling question. But he says, it's a Lomdisha question. Miatov, Shlish Rishon Lashavar. You know what? Let's look at it this way. Let's say the first third goes after the previous year. Let's say it grew a third before Tu B'Shvat, a third after Tu B'Shvat. So let's have to divide each fruit in thirds. And let's say that each fruit we should miser on a third of it from last year, and on the next third from the next year. That's not the way we would have looked at Avos Shlish, right? We would think Avos Shlish that fixes the entire fruit. Which is, in fact, the Gemara's conclusion. But the half meaning of the Gemara is to say that each third can be distinct as it grows. So says the Gemara, again, Rabbi Boom Bar Chia Boy Komi Rabbi Zira, Me'ato Shlisha Rishon L'Shavar Shlisha Hashen, Ila Abba. Right, let's have the Meiser of the, let's require 2 years of Meiser in each fruit. Amalei said no. Yeah, you don't divide it that way. Shlisha Rishon Koshulavo. It's hard to get to the first third. But Kame and Shuba, once it comes, miyadu gadol. Immediately afterwards, it grows very quickly to full term. Which I think means that the first third is the primary component. And then the next third, since that's already, so to speak, easy, so we don't have to take that, we don't have to be concerned with that. That's what I think the pshat is.
So how are you going to know which is the first third and which is the second?
You won't, which means you'll be stuck. Right, agreed. It's true, it would present the problem. But the Gemara doesn't give that answer. The Gemara doesn't say it's practically impossible, that we have to be pragmatic about it. The Gemara doesn't give an answer. Rabbi Bar, Rabbi said, Kari, Suman, Yoliflor, Rabbi Zira. Wow, like an expert sharecropper, Rabbi Zira said this. Wow, he's a real botanist. He knows that this stuff grows so quickly after the first third. Psh. I don't think he's being sarcastic. Because the Gemara goes on to say, Kahada de Shmuel. You don't have that, right? Like that what Shmuel said. Tamar Shmuel, Sheetin Yoimin. In the first 60 days, Sheeta Ali, six leaves grow. Sheeta Yoimin, in the next 6 days, Sheetin Ali, 60 leaves grow. Okay? So in other words, once you get to the first third, so then things go zip-zip. And what? Snowballs. So the first third is primary. Tanir, Shimon Gamliel Omer. Minotzos Alin Barapagim. This is the rate of growth. From the time that the leaves sprout until it gets to be unripe figs, Chamish Yom is 50 days. Minapagim Arashitim, from the time it becomes unripe figs until it becomes Arashitim Anoivlos, which is a further stage in the fruit, but not fully developed. It's another chamishim, it's another 50 days. Min hashitin anovus ha'atem, until it's 50, fully ripe, chamishim, another 50 days. 150 days altogether. Rebbe Yomer, kulon arboim yom, each stage is 40 days, so it's 120 days altogether. Right? 40. Likei tein of any of the chanot, let's say you gathered a fig. You don't know when it's chanot was, you need to know whether it's before or after Tu B'Shvat. If it's fully developed, so you count 100 days previously, because that's the time of Chanota when it was a pag that was 100 days ago. According to Rosh Hashanah, according to Rebbe, it was 80 days ago. If Tu B'Shvat came in the interim, so you know the Chanota is from the previous year, and then you meister it based on the previous year. Okay? Do you have Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chulei? Well, you should. Tani. Rabbi Yehuda our Mishnah said that parsos grow in 2 year cycle. So they said it's not true. So it says where Tani, we learned Omele, said, Varei imcha b'tveria. There are some parsos, the Persian dates with you in Tveria. They know this is a shana achas. So they make it, they produce in 1 year. So Amar Lam Sarbiyah said, "Varei Machem Tziporim." You have Persian dates in Tzipori. Varinosus Lushteishanim. They only grow in 2 years. So the truth is, in Tveria it's nice and warm. It's down by the Kinneret, and it's in a valley. In Tzipori it's already more hilly and cooler climate. So there was a difference between the two. So the Shaila is really how we look at the other locations. Everybody agrees in Tveria takes only 1 year. Everybody agrees in Tzipori takes 2 years to grow. Shaila is every other location like Tzipori or like Tveria? And this is, of course, the Machlokas in Metzius. Okay, it's actually Machlokas, and how things grow. Okay, Aloha Base. Now you're going to have to do a lot of going back and forth here, because they divided up this Mishnah and my this halacha and my Gemara here into four separate segments. Okay? Hatomin es aluf. Now I looked up aluf. Aluf is an obscure type of onion. It's called. Did you know that onions are a member of the lily family? Do you care? Onions are part of the lily family. I don't know what nafkamina that is. I guess if lilies would have, if they produce vegetables, they'd be hadama. Okay? If you ate a lily pad, you make hadama. Daisy. Okay. So tell me that aloof is an obscure kind of onion, and it's called an arum. Okay? In any event, so Tomei Salubishvi, they would sometimes, we had this previously in Shas, you would store these loof in the ground. So it was like in a root cellar. Except you would dig a hole in the ground, stick them in. So Shas, how many can you put together in a storage area? How many? Yeah, the less you put in, the worse off you are, because the more it looks like you're planting. So what's the minimum amount of loof you have to have in one of these storage areas in order to be permissible to store during Shemitah? You'd have to have two measures which reach up to a height of 3 tefachim, the tefach of Ragabov, and there are one tefach underground. Chachom Ramim, excuse me. You need to have 4 kab, which is a third of the measure, Reb Meir, and also a gov tefach, and also be a tefach high, which is also a third of the measure, Reb Meir. The tefach of Ragabov and a tefach of Ofer on top of it. The Tomno, when you do put these into storage, it has to be Mamoko Jesus Ragli Odom, in an area where people walk. Because when people walk, it prevents the loof from growing. from sprouting. So this way everybody knows that it's not planted in order to grow. Okay, go to the Gemara. Akidon loaf. That's loaf. But sorry, what about regular onions? Rabbi Yoina. He loaf, he b'tzon. Same thing, loaf and onions. Rabbi Yossi Mistabra. No. Makes more sense to say b'tzolim afilu pachos mikam mutar. Even if you have less onions, it's permissible to start stockpile them in the ground during Shemitah. Why? To inun shafion. They're smooth. And he explains at the bottom that loof has roots which grow out of all parts of the bulb, whereas onions only have roots which grow out of the bottom of the bulb. They're smooth all around. So therefore, onions are more lenient with storing onions because it looks much less like you're planting because they grow out of less roots, less diffusely. Okay? Going back to the Mishnah. Luf Shavar Lav Shvias. That's an interesting thing here. The Gemara is going to change what the Mishnah is talking about, but let me learn the Mishnah Kapshuta and then we'll see how the Gemara changes it. A loof grows during Shemitah. It grows throughout Shemitah. Rabbi Lezimer, im lokt anim es olav, during Shemitah, of course, it's Hefker. If the anim collected the leaves during Hefker, loktu. It's theirs. What im lav? What if they forgot to collect, or they didn't get around to it? And now it's already the eighth year. You have to give the aniyim an amount which approximates what they could have collected during Shemitah. Even though they missed their opportunity, you have to give them an amount which approximates that. Mar is going to ask why you should have to do that. We're going to deal with that in the Mar. Now, so Rabbi Yoshua argues, Rabbi Shumarim, loktu aniyim es olav, if they collected during Shemitah, yes, fine, loktu. Vimlav, and if not, if they miss Shemitah, aniyim olav cheshbon, they don't have the right to demand, well, what we could have collected, you have to give to us. Okay? Let's go to the Gemara. Rabbi Avo b'shem Rabbi Yochan said, Asid Rabbi Yehuda k'Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Yehuda is going like Rabbi Lezer, Ud Rabbi Yossi is going like Rabbi Yoshua. Now, in order to understand this, we need some background information. Really, in the Mishnah story about case where he uprooted the loof and then left the leaves in the field and they grew on their own during Shemitah. In the meantime, as they were leaves, when they were seeing there's leaves, he did a beer on them. Beer meaning that he renounced ownership in them. We have a machlo. Now, it's the eighth year came, and the stuff which he renounced during Shemitah is mixed in with the stuff which grew during the eighth year. Because remember, he left the leaves out there, and they now took root, the leaves themselves, and grew. So now he's got stuff which was shvius, but on which he did beer, mixed in with stuff which is shminis. The stuff which the eighth year is for sure his. That's not a question. The stuff which is the seventh year, that's the shaila. Can he take that as well, or does that belong to the danim? And this is contingent on the machlokas. What is the status of crop after you do beer on it? We bismanas at paskin, anybody can take it. But at the time of the Gemara's Machlokas, after Bior, whether the guy can take it back into his house as his own, or has to daf go to the Anim. It's one of the Matnos Anim. So our Mishnah, they're arguing whether you have to make a Cheshbon Anim or Anim or not. That Machlokas is, in essence, the Machlokas. What's the status of fruit of Shemitah after Bior? Is it considered to be belong to the Anim, or is it considered to belong even to the Baal Boss? Okay, that's what Gemara is going to say here. Yeah. Right. But the limited hefker actually means, here the limited hefker, normally say, we usually paskin limited hefker is not hefker. But here it's the antithesis of that. Here we're paskin that opinion that limited hefker is preferable. Or that's in fact the case. But we don't paskin. We paskin here, it's bona fide hefker. The way you paskin, it's really hefker for everybody. That's this case. And this is a machlokas, no, but we never quoted the machlokas before. It's the first time we learned there's a machlokas of that, in fact, is applicable. Okay? The Tanita, we learned over there, Anim Ochli Machar Bior, Anim can eat after Bior, have a low Asherim, but not rich people. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Meir, Echad Aniyim ve'echad Ashirim Ochlin Echad Bira, they're allowed to eat after beer. And that our Mishnah, where, when it says that you have to make Cheshbon Aniyim, that's like Rabbi Yehuda. And it says you don't have to make Cheshbon Aniyim, that's like Rabbi Yossi. Now, Rabbi Ami asks a very fundamental question based on a concept we have not yet seen in our Masechta, but which is one of the most germane concepts in all of Shemitah. Rabbi Ami Boik Rabbi Yochel, Kum Rabbi Yochel, Leis Kamishum Sfichim. The halacha is any vegetable, not fruit, any vegetable or grain which grows during Shemitah is also to eat. Now, this is if it starts growing during Shemitah and grows during Shemitah. Why is that? It's called Isser of Sfichim. This is a major, major problem, as Manazen and Eretz Yisrael. Because the people who rely on that, their Mechira, oh, there is no Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. The people who don't rely on that, their Mechira, can't eat any of that crop. Because L'shita Sam, it's all Sfichim. And Svichim are usur to eat altogether. There's no heter. This doesn't apply to fruit. I want to make this clear. It doesn't apply to fruit of a tree. Fruit of a tree is not Svichim. Svichim is only, because Svichim is only stuff which grows during Shemitah, even wild. Because most beans are gzeir the rabbanon, although we will see in a moment that beans are d'oraisa, lest you come to plant yourself. By trees, it's not relevant because trees generally grow for multiple years at a time. So if they didn't make gzeir of sfichis by trees, but they made the gzeir of sfichim by anything which grows out of any crop, whether it be vegetable or grain which grows out of the ground. So I asked one of the obvious questions, this loof, after it's Svichim. It's not, it grew during Shemitah. It left the leaves out there and they grew. So that should be also because of Svichim. Now, what's the shaila of eating it? Make a cheshbon aniyim, not make a cheshbon aniyim. It's also to eat, period.
Isn't there
kedusha
of something that grows?
Kedusha during Shemitah is stuff which started growing before Shemitah and then grew during Shemitah. But stuff which started growing from the get-go in Shemitah is Aser. It's not just kadosh, it's Aser. That's Sfichim. Okay, you see the difference? Very basic difference. Okay, Amalei, so he said, Masdisach lo gozo Sfichim. So Rabbi Yechanan said, Rabbi Ami proposed to Rabbi Yechanan. Yeah, Rabbi Ami proposed to Rabbi Yochanan that perhaps our Mishnah talking about before they made the Gzer and Sfichim, because there's a Gzer the Rabbanan. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yechanan said back to him, so were you on the second floor and they made that Gzer? When all Gzeres Chazal, for some reason, they made on second floors. Always made him an aliyah. No, I don't know why. But anyway, they always so Rabbi Yochanan made a mockery of him. He said, were you there that you know when they made the Gzeirah? So Sav Rabbi Ami misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan and thought what Rabbi Yochanan was saying was that Amru Isur Svichim Divrei Torah. That Svichim is a Raisa. That's what is making mockery of him. In fact, later on in the Masechet, we'll see that it's not the Var Torah d'oraisa, it's the Rabbanan. It's making mockery of him. How do you know when they made the Gzeirah? Okay? So Rabbi Yirmi said, so Taka, what's it talking about our Mishnah? So it says Gemara, Rabbi Yirmi says, Balei Luf Shaitim Masnisa. Our Mishnah is talking about idiot Luf. Now what's idiot Luf? It's a bitter and not good to eat. And we're going to learn later in the Masechet that there is one escape hatch on this Yisur Sfichim, stuff which grows in a field which was not intended to, let's see later on. Let me leave this for now. I got confused. This is a specific independent heter in and of its own. A stuff which is bitter and inedible doesn't fall into the category of Sfichim, even if it grows during Shemitah, because people are never going to plant it, so they didn't make it part of the Gzeirah. So it says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, our mission is to tell you about the leaves of an idiot loof which people would never plant in their right mind. I say Rabbi Yishiyah Masdisa, the Bar Kapora mean Dormis, Rabbi Yishiyah brought a Braisa, which Bar Kapora had brought from the south. The tiny bone, which it says, Ali Luf, Ali Psalim. It said our Mishnah, it said concerning our Mishnah, it's not just talking about Luf leaves, but also onion leaves. that Yisloch Lemeimer Ali B'tzolim Mishraytim, there's no such thing as an idiot onion. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyahu's answer is not a good answer. L'chayra. We didn't want to say, I'm just talking about idiot onions where there's no gzeir of sfichim. Idiot loof, there's no gzeir of sfichim. What are you going to say about onions? There are no idiot onions. There's loof shreit, there's no batzel shreit. Now, the Rabbi Yirmiyahu will address this, but first we have a parenthetical mark. Remark. Milsad Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amra. We should know from the word, from Rabbi Yirmiyahu, we can derive, literally, the words of Rabbi Yirmiyahu teach us, Dovah Sheesh Lo Biur. Something which is susceptible to biur, meaning the leaves. Shanim Sosol Dovah Sheen Lo Biur, which is mixed together with stuff which has no biur, meaning the roots, because the roots are not susceptible to biur. They don't have to be uprooted from the ground and made hefker. Yesh Lo Biur. They have biur. Both, even the leaves do have biur. Because according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Armish is talking about a case where it's Ale Luf Shoite. I was saying that even though Luf Shoite really has no beer, that you don't uproot it in order to make a beer on it. Nonetheless, the leaves do have a beer. So that means that we can divide the plant into two and say that even though the root doesn't have a beer, the leaves do have a beer. Now, the truth is, I don't know why this is only going to Rabbi Yirmiyahu. According to Rabbanan, this is also true. We're talking about a regular loof. So also, the roots in the ground don't require beer. You leave the bulb in the ground till next year. It's the leaves which require beer. So I don't know why this is only going to Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Be that as it may. Mavale Rabbi Yirmiyahu. How is Rabbi Yirmiyahu Taka going to learn? It's a good kasha. Rabbi Yirmiyahu can't learn stuff about Luf Shoite anymore because then that doesn't apply to Batzel. So this might give you a very different answer. Pasale Rabbi Yirmiyahu explains Bishashike Fale. It's an interesting thing. Really, you're talking about a bona fide Luf, smart Luf. And what you did is, Erev Shemitah, before Shemitah began, you beat the leaves off. And then the leaves took root during Shemitah. Here there's no Isser of Svichim. High grew during Shemitah. So on this is where I got mixed up. He brings down later on, we're going to see there a heter. There's an escape hatch, which is that if you have a fallow field or field which was plowed, and you really didn't want anything to grow there, you want it to remain fallow or plowed until the year after Shemitah when you would plant there. If Svichim grew in that field during Shemitah, those Svichim are permissible. Because they were against your will. You didn't want anything to grow there. So to hear, if you beat the leaves off the tree before Shemitah, even if then the leaves sprouted during Shemitah, that's not considered to be Svichim. And that's the case our Mishnah is talking about. That's the case where it's not Svichim, because you beat the leaves off Erev Shemitah, yet it has Kedusha Shviz, because it then grew during Shemitah, and that's why, according to what we have Machlokes, but in that case, you have to make a Cheshbon Danim to give it to him or not. Okay, that's the case we're talking about. Okay, so there's no Svichim, yet there is Kedusha Shviz. Rabbi Yassa Potter Lamasis, Rabbi Yassa Luntar Mishnah, Livnei Rosh Hashanah Shal Shviz. That's talking about before the Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. How so? Not to Livnei Rosh Hashanah Shal Shviz. You planted the loof before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. So that's already, it's no Isser of Svichim, because it was planted before Rosh Hashanah. Vasa Beitzim, it made eggs, which is a euphemism, means it grew. It just means it grew. Livnei Shviz, before Shviz, a little bit. And then, Rikno, you almost uprooted Bishmias, in Shmias itself, but you fully uprooted V'akrav and Motzoy Shmias. You fully uprooted Motzoy Shmias. So during Shemitah, you partially uprooted, but you didn't fully uproot it. And that we have a Shiloh, a Sophic. In Temar Rikun Ki Ikaru, if you're going to say that when you almost uprooted it, it's if you mamish uprooted it, so then, Kulo Lanim Havi, it belongs to Lanim in its entirety. Because when did you uproot it? During Shemitah. If almost uprooting equals uprooting, so it's as if it was harvested during Shemitah. Anything which is harvested during Shemitah is to Danim, because it did beer on it and now belongs to Danim. However, in Tamar, in Rikun Kikar, if you're going to say that the almost uprooting, it ain't uprooted till it's uprooted, right? So then Rikun is not like Kikar, ain't cool on him, none of it goes to Danim, because when was it ultimately uprooted and harvested? Only during the eighth year, so therefore it shouldn't go to Danim at all. That's why in our Mishnah we make a Cheshbon give to Danim, not because Danim owned part of it. No. It's not that they own part of it, rather we're Mesupuk of Danim own any of it. They could own the whole thing. They could own none of it. So it's a suffix. Safik yasa cheshbon aniyim, meaning with safik you make a compromise with aniyim and give them part, not the whole thing. Okay? Rabbi Chizkiya patzalamasi. So yet another interpretation of our Mishnah. Rabbi Chizkiya explained our Mishnah that's talking about Be'er Erev. Now what do you have here? Okay, so he takes out the Rosh Hashanah show. Because Erev Rosh Hashanah Shvi sounds like you planned a Mamish Erev Rosh Hashanah. Which would be the exact same thing as the previous Rabbi Yasa. He means you planted it years ago. Remember, loof can stay in the ground for years on end. So this is talking about a loof which grew for several years before Shemitah. So Erev Shvi means so a year or 2 years before Shemitah begins. Okay? Not to Erev Shvi's. Again, he takes off the Rosh Hashanah show. He planted it sometime for Shvi's. Vasa bitzo, and it grew. And he takes out the word betchilas and substitutes Erev Shvi's. Right? It grew before Shvi's. Verikno, and you almost uprooted it. He changed the next thing to Erev Shvi's. To just before Shvi's. Vakra, and then he left in the ground throughout the Shemitah year. Until after, till the end of Shemitah, right? Now, in Tamar Rikun Kikor, if you're going to say, if you say almost a brood's like a brooding, Kula Kabah Bais, it goes to the Kabah Bais. Why is it go? Because when did you do Rikun? Before Shemitah began. In Tamar, in Rikun Kikor, if you're going to say that almost a brood's not like a brooding, and Kula Kabah Bais, it doesn't mean you belong to Kabah Bais, because when did you completely uproot it? During Shemitah itself. Towards the end of Shemitah, but during Shemitah itself. So therefore, here too, it's a Safik, Misafik, Yasa, Cheshbon Aniyim. For a Misafik, since you don't know whether Rikun is Kikur or not, you make a Pshara, you make a compromise with the Aniyim. Tani, we learned. Loof Sharva loves Shvias. A loof over which Shvias passed. Rebbeleza Omer, Imasa Bar, Shalashayim, was in the ground for 3 years. No son, Plut Shemitah. No sanim robe, give that name a quarter. Shteishim is in the land for 2 years plus Shemitah. No sanim shlisha, give that name a third. No. You don't have this? You don't have Tanya? Surprise? The whole thing you don't have? What's the next thing you have? Okay, so you just don't have the first line here. I have tiny loof shor v'lo shvi'is or blezer omer. Now pick up again. If the loof was in the ground for 3 years plus shmitah, so no saniyim robe, give that name a quarter, because 1 and 3 is 1/4. Shteishim, 2 years plus shmita, saniyim shlisha, give that name a third. Shana achas plus shmita, no saniyim mechti, give that name a half. Now Rabbi Yasso, how does Rabbi Yasso learn? This is a brisa. How does Rabbi Yasso learn this brisa? Patam asis shanot alivnei Rosh Hashanah shel shvi'is. You planted it Rosh Hashanah before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, and it stayed in the land past Shemitah for another 3 years, or 2 years, or 1 year, and that's how the cheshbon works, because that's Rabbi Yasso shita that you planted immediately before Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Chizkiya Patar Masis, he explains this price of Shanoto Erev, and here he changes it again. Shanoto Erev Shvi'is, you planted it substantially before Shemitah. Either 3 years, 2 years, or 1 year before Shemitah. So it's the same thing, just looking at it differently. It's either the several years and then the Shemitah itself, or the Shemitah and then several years after. But it's, again, according to both of them, the question is whether Rikun is Ki'ikur, and when you did the Rikun. Did you do the Rikun, which is the almost uprooting, immediately prior to Shemitah, and then you uprooted during Shemitah, and the suffix is whether Rikun is Ki'ikur, or you did the uprooting, the almost uprooting during Shemitah, and the entire uprooting after Shemitah, and then the suffix is the same way. Okay, Rabbi Bar Chia stated, Kumi Rabbi Zira in front of Rabbi Zira, Ap Bishar Shnei Shavuot Chen. This is true also about Meiser during other years of Shemitah. But Tani, we learned this in a Braisa. Heiser Shnei Nichneses L'Shvi'i Shlish. This is the second, it's amazing Takara. You're in the second year of the cycle, going into the third year. Eino Mirakno. You're not allowed to almost uproot it during the second year. Nor, you're not allowed to prevent water stop irrigating for 30 days. Why? Because if you do that, then it might be affiliated with the second year. What ma'aser do you give in the second year? Ma'aser Sheni. What ma'aser give during the third year? Ma'aser Ani. So we didn't want you to be Meraking it in the second year, because then you'd be giving Ma'aser Sheni. We prefer that you leave it for the third year and then give Ma'aser Ani. Humanitarian takana, right? So you're not allowed to be Meraking it almost uprooted, nor, which is the same thing, prevent water from coming to for 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, because then you get Ma'aser Sheni. We want you to have rather Ma'aser Sheni, Ma'aser Ani. And the opposite is true, therefore, as well. It's the Shlishis Nichnas Reviz, you went from the 30th to the 4th year, then we encourage you, Merakno, do almost uprooted, and be Moneh Aminu Menu Mayim in the 3rd year, Bishvil Sheyehei Maiserani, or there should be Maiserani. Hadam Rosh, Rikun Kiikor, this teaches us, this opinion holds, this price holds, that when you almost uproot it, it's like uprooting it. And therefore, it goes to the Aniyim on that basis. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. I just want to finish till the next Mishnah, which is not much further, right? Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah for a minute. Luf shel Erev Shvius. A luf which is grown Erev Shvius, and started growing Erev Shvius, so it's not Spichim. Shenichel Shvius, and then grows into the 7th year. So then it does has Kedusha Shvius. It's not Spichim, because it started growing before Shvius, but it has Kedusha Shvius. V'chem etzom shel kitzonim. Also summer onions. Chetzonim is summer. V'chem pua, what? Not zealous onions. V'chem pua shall eat it, and so too if you have a plant which grows colors, which is shalitis means of a fine field, idus, benus, and ipuris, yeah. The Shalom Rehim himself, where it goes to Shemit, it has Kedusha Shvius, so therefore you have to be okerit with a shinui. Normally, you uproot these things, these are roots, bulbs, so you uproot them usually by hand. But here, you have to make a shinui, so you have to do marofa shalit with wooden hose. It's a double shinui, a hoe and wood. Rabbi Basil Omein, one sheet is enough. Kardomo Shemal Techas. You can use pickaxes. So it can be metal, but it has to be, can't be with your hands. Umodim Bepush El Tzlos. Everybody agrees, however, if it's the color plant which grows in a rocky land, Shokin Esopra Kardomo Shemal Techas, there you can use metal picks. Why? Because it doesn't look. The reason why we require such a dramatic shinui is because otherwise it looks like you're working the land, right? Because after all, you're uprooting the growth there, so it looks like the flip side is they're preparing the land for planting. So we're not worried about this in a rocky area. It doesn't look like you're preparing the land for planting in any way, shape, or form. So therefore, in that case, you're allowed even to use, even Basil said, Beit Shammah says, you don't need a double shinui. A single shinui is enough, it could be with pickaxes. Okay, back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yasa b'shem Rabbi Lo. Tipater shok, you know, I wrote an article, I was telling Reb Meir before you came in, I wrote an article today for the Jewish Observer about the Yerushalmi. So I mentioned all your names, by the way, in a footnote.
Oh, really?
Yes, we'll see. So, there are only three, so I should, might as well mention them, right? So I was kind of, they don't know who you are. Little do they know. So,
all those Telzers are the Jews.
Yeah. So I tried to quote some of the oddities, some of the interesting things about the Yerushalmi. So one of the things I forgot, I should talk a thing you put in, is this Rabbi Law. Because every time you come across his name, you're liable to make the mistake that it's Lo Tipater instead of Rabbi Law. That's one of the interesting, you know, things which throw you off. Anyway, Rabbi Yosef Hashem Rabbi Law said, Tipater, explain our Mishnah, She'okru at Shalot Simchot Somchu Gidulot. You have to, he wants to say that this is before it grows. We're talking about our Mishnah before it grows, because once it grows new growth, those have full Kedusha Shvius, and therefore you have to let them grow to term, because otherwise you're being Ma'abed Peder Shmita. So it's the growth of the 6th year at the beginning of the 7th year before it starts growing new buds or new leaves, whatever the case would be. Summer ones. Petra. Petra in Greek is Petra. Petra means rock. Right, Petra is the what? The rock in Jordan. Right, Petra. Taila Makam Shnagru Lachrosh, Yachrosh. If it's in a rocky area, you know what? You can even plow and Lenakesh if you want to pluck them out. You can pluck them out. You don't have to make any shini whatsoever. You know why? Because in rocky area, it doesn't look like you're preparing the soil. All right, let's go back to the Mishnah for last time. When could a person buy loof in the marketplace Motzei Shvi'is and assume it's not from the Shemitah year? Immediately. Once the new crop is prevalent. So the more I ask the obvious question, I'm getting back tomorrow. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? Why can you buy immediately? So that's when I tell you why. Because Gazru al Haluf, lo Gazru al Hayerek. They made a decree that loof, if you uproot it during Shemitah, you have to make a shinui on it. So farmers are not going to uproot loof during Shemitah. When are they going to uproot it? After Shemitah. Because then they don't have to make a shinui, right? They don't have to use the hose or the pickaxe or whatever they're using. So therefore, and Mistoma, the loof started growing much earlier, right? Because it's a bulb which stays in the land for several years. So therefore, farmers are assumed to take stuff which grew from before Shemitah and is only picked now after Shemitah, and therefore you can take it immediately after Shemitah. So as for Miata Filu B'Shvi'isiyam Mutter, you know what? If that's the case, let's be allowed to buy the loof from them during Shemitah, and we'll assume that they picked it from before Shemitah. Because nobody picks loof during Shemitah. You have to make a shina. Everybody would much rather pick before Shemitah. Says Mar B'Tamon Anu Kayami. You know what? We're afraid that the guy's going to lie and he's going to say, oh, yeah, I had them from Motzah from Erev Shemitah. Of course I picked them Erev Shemitah, but he's lying. He really was chashed al shvi'is, and he maybe picked them during Shemitah, and he's lying to tell you he picked them before Shmar Shemitah. Shlo yelech v'yavi min iser, we're afraid he's going to bring the stuff which is also. V'yomer say, oh, of course, min atomene v'etz, I bought the stuff which I already had safe care from before Shemitah. Tanya, Ra'om Rabbi Yehuda, ma'isa she'inu b'ein kushim. We're once in the fountain of the blacks. V'chalnu roof, and we ate roof, alpi Rabbi Tarfo, v'motzoi chag sh'motzoi shvi'is. Immediately after Sukkot, it's Motzei Shvi'is, which is a riot like me, that it's immediately Mutter right after Shemitah. Amar Rabbi Yossi said, you're suffering from amnesia. Im Chayisi, you were with me, V'loya Ela Motzei Pesach. It was 6 months later, which makes it a whole different story. Misha Yarba.